Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, to come to the big political stories of the day now, as you've been hearing in the headlines, the Oireachtas Committee on Health was told that construction firm BAM has shifted the substantial completion date of the new National Children's Hospital project 14 times in just 4 years. BAM, though, this evening has issued a lengthy statement, and I can read you some of that now. They say BAM has sought repeatedly to work through issues with the board. However, as we have seen, the board has ignored the provisions, the fair provisions of the contract when the independent conciliator findings do not suit it. Drive Time has sought a response from the board, and we'll bring that to you when we receive a response. In other news, also you've been hearing on this programme and in the headlines, this afternoon, chairman of the OPW, John Condon, has revealed that the security shelter adjacent to the Department of Finance cost more than 1.4 million euro. That revelation came forth during questioning about the bike shelter at Dáil Éireann, which cost 336,000 euro. To discuss these stories, I'm joined by Neasa Harrigan, who's health spokesperson for the Green Party, and also by AIMTHU leader, Pather Thobeen. You're both very welcome to the programme. Let's focus on the new National Children's Hospital, first of all, and the appearance of the board at the committee, the Oireachtas Committee, Neasa Harrigan, and this statement from BAM this evening, which just points to what we learned about the board at the Oireachtas hearing today, serious differences between the board and BAM. But can I ask you about the hearing today? What did you learn about why there's such a lack of progress at the National Children's Hospital?
Well, I think, and you can see from the statements today, both at the Oireachtas Committee and by BAM themselves, that feelings are running very high, and it seems that the relationship between both parties is completely broken down. What we learned today is that there's no compliant programme agreed between the two parties. So that seems to be an ongoing issue since 2021, that BAM is submitting programmes and an agreement on when they will be finished. And it is not compliant with what the client, in this case the board, is expecting. And that has been an ongoing issue despite the best efforts of the employer's representative to mediate between the two.
They are compliant for periods of time, it was said. And I think the design changes were mentioned as a possible reason as well.
I saw that, and certainly in BAM's retort this afternoon to the committee hearings, they discuss this idea of design changes. And I think it's useful, you know, for people to kind of hear that, like, complex projects are just that, and they're often a design in progress. And you would expect to see at the beginning of those very complex projects that the building form and function and the position and locations and access to rooms are set out. But what BAM is describing in their statement today are things like the set out of dropped ceilings and the mounted services that relate to those.
The question that was raised at the committee hearings today as well is there might be design changes, and that might be fair enough, but I wonder, was enough time given to the contractor and subcontractors to digest the changes in design and to prepare for them adequately?
Well, I suppose that remains to be seen. And we're at a level now where there's so many years of delay that I think we can say that the working process was not as it should be. We're talking about maybe 23,000 either variations or change orders. The change orders are a magnitude that is different and are much greater, and there's only around 400 or so change orders. Variations are almost like a clarification of a drawing and are not really the same magnitude. But certainly, I have to say, I am not entirely convinced by BAM's claim that the design changes, as they describe them in their own statement, which is around things like, you know, drop-down ceilings, which would absolutely fall under their part of the contract, if that is the real reason for delay, because certainly that is not hugely convincing to me.
Pather Thobeen, what did you learn about why there's a lack of progress on the new National Children's Hospital?
Yeah, well, there's great frustration in relation to what's happening. It feels to many citizens at the moment that the government is incinerating taxpayers' money on one level and at the same time cannot deliver necessary infrastructural projects on time, which is of great cost to people as well. You know, at the heart of this is a government contract that was developed that didn't have the detail within it and has allowed BAM to operate in a situation where they don't have to finish on any certain times. There's no particular time frame planned. There's no penalties involved for late delivery.
There are.
Well, at the moment, you look at BAM operating at a pace which is causing great damage, obviously, to the country in relation to this delayed project. And there isn't the necessary, I believe, penalties in place to make sure that BAM does this project on time. BAM has a track record of working for other companies such as Intel on bigger projects on time and on budget. But this particular, the previous government...
Are you saying that it's the contract that's at fault here? And again, members of the committee came back to the construction of the contract and the clarity of the contract.
Yes, so I'm aware of a particular room within the National Children's Hospital that's had its designs changed 120 times, okay? That particular contract was released from the department without the necessary detail within it. That contract was signed off by Simon Harris when he was Minister for Health. And I do believe that this is a key element, isn't this? This is the issue of accountability. Because the problem with all of these crises that we're being affected of in terms of infrastructural delivery is that nobody ever seems to get held to account.
But
there's
the
no personal responsibility.
I mean, the board is there to deliver NASA Horrigan, yes. Surely. Can I go back to NASA on that very point? Surely, if we're looking at accountability, the minister might oversee whatever minister of the day, but they assign the oversight on a daily basis to a board. And I suppose the question that people are asking and have been asking is, does the contract allow the board enough levers, is the question, the word they were using today at the committee, enough levers to expedite the process and the building of the hospital? And I think the answer was no, was it today?
No, I agree with Padder, actually, and I would agree there with you, is that no, it simply does not allow them enough levers. We have the standard contract lever, which is liquidated damages. Those are agreed when you sign the contract, and in this case, those were agreed at 15 million.
Explain that.
So at the time when you sign a contract, if you are concerned, or even if you're not, to be honest with you, it would be a very standard part of a contract, that there is a late delay or that there are circumstances that were within the control of the contractor that they still didn't manage to overcome, that you can agree a sum of money that is paid back to the client. And in this case, it's 15 million. Now, in the context of the original contract of 800 million, and certainly in the context of 2.2 billion that we're looking at now, 15 million is a drop in the ocean. And you would have to say that certainly this morning we heard that the contract is a standard boilerplate public works contract. It's not. It was a two-stage contract, and it does seem that the department must answer questions about what are the expertise in the department that they signed up to a contract that does not provide them with the levers to push a project of this complexity over the line.
I'm sure they would say there's adequate expertise in the contract, but the question still stands. How come the board doesn't have, or feel it doesn't have, the levers to expedite the process? So am I right in saying then, we don't know how much this will cost and we don't know when it's going to be delivered, NASA?
I think that is right. I think that is correct. And the levers that they have are to withhold, which is what they're doing at the moment, withhold a certain amount of the fees, then to go after liquidated damages or to terminate the contract. And if that was the outcome, that would be incredibly serious. I don't think anybody wants to see that, because if we're talking about delays now and there is a termination or a full breakdown of relationships between the client and the contractor, then we really will be wondering when this hospital will finish.
The question, Padre Tobin, is how do we get this to move forward?
Well, first of all, I will say this: the fact that a contract was issued when the design was not complete is an absolute disgrace, and that has caused the problem. And I want to know.
In fairness, just on a point of order, let's say the board did say it was never envisaged that the design in its entirety.
I don't agree. I don't agree, by the way, because I think in a complex hospital project like this, that wouldn't be unusual.
Well, it has led to the fluidity that we're in at the moment. It has led to the design changes that have happened dozens of times at the moment, and it is leading to the cost and the delay on this issue.
How do we resolve it?
So the question is, how do we make this stop, right? The way we make this stop is that in future, that we have a system of accountability where individuals such as Simon Harris, who signed this contract, are actually held to account. And that has to happen. It's the same with the bicycle shed. It's the same with this new security hut issue that is developing now outside of government buildings. There has to be personal responsibility for people's actions. It has to be built into the contract in terms of the actions that they take. And, you know, at times, if people involve themselves in great costs such as this, It has to mean penalties up to and including people losing their jobs. It would, the private sector would never be in a situation like this, because if this happened in the private sector, very, very quickly an individual will be held responsible. Mm. But we will be cursed to a Groundhog Day of government incompetence unless we inject accountability into the process.
Can I ask you, Gnatha, on another matter which might be related? A revelation today that emerged when politicians were asking about the bike shelter, which so many people have been talking about, built for €336,000. Lo and behold, we learn that the security shelter near the Department of Finance has cost €1.4 million.
There's a few things to unpack with that, which is, first of all, to say I was absolutely horrified by the cost of the bike shelter and was very clear about that. And what's happening with the OPW and these projects is kind of the opposite of what's happening with the hospital, which is it's the OPW who are setting the price of the contract. If I understand the OPW's own report that they issued in the last 24 hours correctly, they are the ones who decided the bike shelter was going to cost €350,000. And then they went looking for the contract, which is exactly the opposite of what we see with the hospital. I don't think that the security hut is a good comparator here, because the security hut is a fully enclosed, habitable structure that is in an area of very complex conservation and will have all sorts of technology and security concerns. So to my eye, actually, that number on the security hut isn't ridiculous, whereas the bike shed, I couldn't get over it.
You think the €1.4 million is justifiable?
Unless I've seen all the drawings and all of the scope of works, I can't say for sure. But it's not a number that jumped off the table to me, whereas the bike shed absolutely did.
Okay, Pather, €1.4 million for that security shelter.
Yeah, I think it's another example of the Gucci instincts of this government when it comes to procuring construction for themselves. Yet when
it wasn't any ministry that signed off on this. It was a public service.
Just giving a perspective on this, this particular building is a little bit bigger than a mobile home. That's what we're talking about in terms of €1.4 million. And actually, I understand that the design of it's actually caused entry difficulties for large trucks now into the area as well, which is quite incredible.
There's security elements.
At the heart of this problem, is that the OPW have a system called a measured term maintenance contract. So what they do is they have two, let's say, partner private companies who they deliver most of these works through on an annual basis. Now, today we learned that actually the OPW allow for the private company to then further tender themselves for these particular projects. So even the quantity surveyor that's actually tasked with making sure that there is value here is not employed by the OPW, they're employed by the private company. And that none of the OPW staff have within their contracts a responsibility to mind the public purse and to find value for money.
It was done after consultation with Gordy and security about all of the various elements. Can I ask you, Gnatha Horrigan, though, one final question? Given the bike shed and the security shelter, would you like to see a list of OPW approved projects and how much they've cost over the last 2 or 3 years?
I sure would, particularly the ones that fit under the contract as Pater has described it, which is a framework contract where they have preferred bidders. And in this case, they had two preferred bidders when it comes to the bike shed. I think now it might be time for the OPW to not necessarily sign up to what they had in this report about oversight and we'll do an audit and it'll be a third party. Let's just see what you paid for in the last few years.
Okay, given the €2.3 billion hospital and the €336,000 bike shed and now the €1.4 million security hut, 51551, Gnatha Horrigan of the Green Party, Pather Tobin of Aintu, thank you both very much indeed.